Welcome to KKRN Radio and Off the Shelf with Miri. I'm your host, Dr. Miri Mitchell, and I'll be sharing some of my favorite old and new nonfiction books about philosophy, spiritual psychology, science, metaphysics, or business that might offer just the knowledge you've been looking for to enhance your life. Today we'll take a look at two books. The first is A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson, published in 1992. The second book is Love for No Reason, Seven Steps to Creating a Life of Unconditional Love by Marcy Shimoff, published in 2010. It was interesting to see that the foreword in Marcy's book was written by Marianne Williamson. If you haven't heard of Marianne, she's an internationally acclaimed author of 8 books and a lecturer who occasionally runs for president. She grew up in a middle-class Jewish family. In the 1960s, at age 13, her grandfather took her to Saigon to show her what war was all about, to see the bullets and the walls, and it really made an incredible impression on her. By the time she went to college, she didn't know what to do with her life, although she remembers her parents kept saying, "Do something." During those years, she felt a huge rock of self-loathing in the middle of her stomach. She was in and out of therapy and finally focused her studies on philosophy. During that time, she sensed that there was some mysterious cosmic order to things, but could never figure out how it would apply in her life. By her mid-20s, she wrote, "I was a total mess." In the late 70s, she came upon a 3-volume set of books on spiritual psychotherapy and metaphysics called The Course in Miracles. What she read freed her from her terrible emotional pain. The book is based on what she learned from the Course. The first thing she read was that the meaning of life is to experience love in ourselves and others. That's it. Yet as she looked around, she saw that most people loved things that couldn't love them back, like money or a car or prestige. She saw people searching for meaning in meaningless things. The metaphysical part of her studies brought together broad concepts to help define reality and understand it, and included the nature of the human mind, the definition and meaning of existence, such as the nature of space, time, and causality. In this, she discovered that love requires a different kind of seeing than we're used to. It's the intuitive knowledge. It's in our hearts. Love isn't material. It's pure energy. It's an energy that can't be destroyed, but it can be hidden, like clouding over our love with the mist. The trick is to part the mist and shift our perception that returns the light of love into our lives. Marianne realized that her ongoing self-loathing was a powerful emotion turned inward, creating her personal hell. It took having a nervous breakdown before she finally asked for help. Early in her study of the Course, she learned that the change we're really looking for is already inside our heads. She references the biblical story Jesus told that we can either build our house on sand or on rock. Our house is our emotional stability, and if it's built on sand, the dramatic winds and rain in life can tear it down, and we can crumble easily. When our emotional stability is built on rock, then it's sturdy and strong, and the storms of life can't destroy it. We're no longer vulnerable to life's passing dramas. Our stability is built on something enduring, a higher power, often called God. I call it infinite intelligence. That higher power is in the love, and it's in within us. It's also the background energy in the universe. So when we choose to allow our minds to be loving, then life is peaceful. When we turn away from love, this pain kind of creeps in. So it's really like this. The original thought of this higher power created us in the unconditional energy of love. Feels good to me. Love is part of our nature, which is why people can usually tell when they feel your love or when they don't. And where there is love, there is peace. You've likely heard many times that what you believe is what you achieve, what you think about you become. It's the power of your consciousness. It's our thinking mind that directs the energy in our lives, and we experience the effects. It's also called the natural law of cause and effect. If you don't like the effects or the experiences in your life, you have to change the nature of your thinking. Being in true heaven is when the love in our mind produces the experience of love in our life. Psychologist Carl Jung taught about a mental structure that encompasses universal thought forms of all humanity, and he called it the collective unconscious. He said if we go deeply within our mind and deeply into the mind of others, we'll find there is the same mind. That's why we can communicate with each other on such a deep level. And there's a divine core and essence in every human mind that we call love, which is why we can recognize when we're giving and receiving that unique energy called love. You know, I had to laugh when I read Marianne's words about this. Here's what she wrote. I realized that I must be very powerful if I could mess up everything I touched, everywhere I went, with such amazing consistency. Finally, I figured there must be a way to apply the same mental power in a more positive way. This is when she began to recognize fear as the opposite of love. So her fear must be calling for love. She invites the reader to ponder this. What if we truly believe there's a beneficial order to things? A force that's holding things together without our conscious control. Can we see that our physical body is at work every moment with an array of mechanisms brilliantly designed with utmost efficiency? Our hearts beat, our lungs breathe, our ears hear, our hair grows, and we don't have to make it happen. Planets revolve around the sun, seeds become flowers, embryos become babies. All with no help from us. This movement is built into a natural system, and we are part of it. You know, the universe has been around millions and millions of years, and it's so long that it's challenging to wrap my mind around that time frame sometimes. And yet at the same time, it makes it easier to trust the force that moves the universe. Within this universe are natural laws that keep it working, like the natural laws that keep our body working. Take the law of gravity. You know, I think of pictures of those astronauts when they're weightless in space and things that aren't tied down just float by and they're grabbing things out of the air. What chaos would that be if we experienced a lack of gravity on Earth? I'm grateful for gravity. And thank goodness for the law of photosynthesis. That enables plants to produce oxygen that we need in order to breathe. Science has discovered many of these natural laws that help us understand how things work, and there's many more to be discovered. You know, when we surrender our ego to understanding these natural laws and stop trying to control everything, things kind of fall in a natural order that works. It's true, you know, the power that holds galaxies together can actually handle the circumstances of our relatively little lives. It's just up to us to trust and give up our attachment to the results. Our job in every situation is merely to let go of our resistance to love and trust it. Surrender. Stop fighting the world and start loving it instead. And if that's too difficult, then consider using forgiveness. Forgiveness is a mental technique by which our thoughts are transformed from fear to love. One indicator that it's time for forgiveness is when our mind becomes overly focused on finding fault with ourselves and others. When we do find ourselves gossiping about someone or tearing them down, that energy is like holding a sword above their head. However, the sword doesn't fall on them. It falls on us. All thoughts are thoughts about ourselves. So to condemn someone else is to condemn ourselves. That's why it's time to give up judgments. A forgiving consciousness is a consciousness decision to focus on love and let the rest go. It's such a release of negative energy when we see others from the eyes of the one that created it all. Marianne writes that she spent years as an angry left-winger before she realized that an angry generation cannot bring peace. As Gandhi said, we must be the change, and it begins in our own mind. Are we choosing to judge and be angry, or to find, see, and feel love? As the book comes to a close, Marianne notes that the key to happiness is making a conscious decision to be happy. We need support and permission to feel love, to feel our satisfaction, to feel our happiness. As the old cliche says, you can see the glass half empty or you can see it half full. You can focus on what's wrong in your life or you can focus on what's right. And whatever you focus on, you're going to get more of it. So be done with resisting positive thoughts and feelings. Marianne noticed that some people who participate in the solution to problems don't seem to find themselves as depressed as people who stand on the sidelines and do nothing. Hope is born when we participate in hopeful solutions. And we're happy to the extent that we choose to notice and create reasons for happiness. In A Course in Miracles, it states, heaven merely awaits our acceptance. It's not something we'll experience later. Later is just a thought. It's empowering to be in the present moment. The difference between those people living their potential and those who don't is not the amount of potential itself, but the permission they give themselves to live in the present, to be present in the present moment. It's time to see what's good around you and what's in your thoughts about your surroundings. Today, find the goodness. It's always there, so pay attention and allow the love of your life to surface once again and give thanks. And so it is. KKRN is a community radio station supported by listeners and a team of volunteers who keep everything organized and running well. You're invited to support this amazing group by sending a donation to KKRN, P.O. Box 188, Round Mountain, California, 96805, or look for the donate button on the website. We also love donations of cars, trucks, boats, or motorcycles through the site careasy.org. And if you have questions, hey, give us a call, 1-855-500-7433. The second book is Love for No Reason, 7 Steps to Creating a Life of Unconditional Love, by Marcy Shimoff with Carol Klein. So who is Marcy? She's the author of 6 of the top-selling titles in Chicken Soup for the Soul series, and she's a featured teacher in the international movie and book The Secret. Carol Klein is also an author of 5 titles in Chicken Soup for the Soul, and Carol and Marcy are just good friends. Love for No Reasons begins with a quote by Emmett Fox, a 20th century author and teacher who wrote this. There is no difficulty that enough love will not conquer, no door that enough love will not open, no gulf that enough love will not bridge, no wall that enough love will not take down. It makes no difference how deeply seated may be the trouble, how great the mistake. Sufficient realization of love will resolve it all. If only you could love enough, you would be the happiest and most powerful being in the universe. As an author and speaker, Marcy is always looking around wherever she is to see how people are living their lives, how it's going. She observed that most people are not overflowing with love. Yeah, I can imagine that. Many tell her that their relationships are filled with conflict, or they're unhappy at work, or worried about their children. They feel alone. They're mired in judgments of themselves and others. You know, something fundamental is missing in their lives, and they're not sure how to fill the void. Marcy asks the reader, do you reach for food, alcohol, or drugs to fill the emptiness inside? Do you feel frustrated or unfulfilled in your work? Do you get dragged down by negative thoughts? Do you have tension or conflicts with your spouse or your children? Do you shut down your heart or push love away? Do you feel isolated, separate, or disconnected from others and life? If any of these are true, there is one underlying root cause. You're looking for love outside of yourself, and you've lost touch with the unconditional love that is at the core of your being. After writing for the Chicken Soup book and being in the hit film The Secret, Marcy traveled all over the world, and she talked to people about success and happiness. Her ideas solidified when she started meeting people who were more than just happy. She'd meet them in unexpected places, like sitting next to someone on an airplane or talking to a waiter at a restaurant. She found people who radiated a palpable quality of open-heartedness that was impossible to miss. She started asking them questions, and over time she interviewed over 150 of what she called love luminaries. Along the way, Marcy discovered that in this field of energy that makes up the universe, love energy vibrates at a higher rate than happiness energy. It's mirrored in the last line of Emmett Fox's quote, "If only you could love enough, you would be the happiest and most powerful being in the universe." Some of her love luminaries were famous spiritual leaders and teachers. Some are scientists versed in neurophysiology. Got that? Neurophysiology of love. While others were experts in understanding the psychological facets of love. This book contains their stories, their insights, and recommendations. It's really very, very inspirational. The book is divided into three parts. Part one lays out a new paradigm of love. Part two is a 7-step love for no reason program. Part three has guidelines for keeping higher love alive in your life, and it includes a section for resources, things to read and look up on Google. So let's begin with her invitation to higher love. Theme number one, recognize that love is the substance, the essence of everything in our lives. We're made up of love. Our molecules were formed in love. We are love. Theme number two, the purpose of life, to expand love. The love luminaries shared that they believed that our ultimate purpose is to grow in our ability to give and receive love, that love is our job here on earth. It means that we live life in the context of love. Seeing everything that happens to us helps expand our ability to love. The real challenge is to experience love in difficult situations and with people we don't even like. So theme number three, the heart is the portal to love. In all cultures throughout history, the heart has been considered the seat of love. So with these three themes, let's look at the new paradigm of love. To reach this new paradigm, we start at the bottom level, where there is no love. So life is filled with hate, fear, and resistance. The next level is love for bad reasons, where we use others to fill the void in our heart. The next level is love for a good reason, which is healthy, mutually beneficial relationships, when we deeply appreciate or feel connected to certain people, and when we're inspired to contribute love to others. It's healthy, and it strengthens us. But this kind of love does have some limitations. Like if those we love change, or if they disappoint us, or if we're afraid of losing their love. The best level is love for no reason, also called unconditional love. It's a higher love, an inner state of pure love, and it doesn't depend on other people, external conditions, or circumstances. Here is where we feel freedom, peace, joy, openness, and deep fulfillment. When we love for no reason, we don't need a reason. We just love. To love for no reason, we bring love to our outer experiences rather than try to extract it from someone or something. Personally, I love reading about scientific understanding of how my body and my brain work. In this book, she quotes Eva Selhab, who's an MD and recognized authority on the physiology of love, and she's an instructor at Harvard Medical School. She teaches that love sets off a set of physiological events in our body, and she calls it the love response, in which peptides and hormones are released, including things that you may never have heard of, such as endorphins, oxytocin, dopamine, vasopressin, and nitric oxide, and together these evoke a relaxation response and positive physiology. And the good news is this love response makes it easier for our body to improve rather than to deteriorate with age. Okay, it helps us improve rather than deteriorate with age. I'm all for it. The most important ingredient in the love response is oxytocin. It's known as the love hormone because it stimulates feelings of bonding, safety, trust, and it reduces fear and anxiety. It's activated by warmth, touch, being tender with each other, and befriending activities. It's said that when oxytocin is flowing, you feel full of love. It's likely that we've all had glimpses of this stage that Marcy calls a peak love experience, where our heart is open and love flowed, and when we didn't need anyone or anything to be different, when we had a strong sense that all is well. But there are three myths about this peak love experience to be aware of. One is the myth of romantic love, which we know is important to the continuation of the human species. But at the same time, romantic love is one of those most addictive things on earth, with the same characteristics of any other type of addiction, including obsession, craving, and a bit of distortion of reality. I don't know, you've been there? Romantic love? It brightens up that part of our brain that feels euphoria, the rush, and a kind of a love high. But it's better to let life be our lover and not an addiction to another person. The second myth is, I'll love you if, fill in the blank, such as, I'll love you if you give me what I need, if you share my values, if you're not too this way or that way, and so on and so on. This is the opposite of unconditional love. It's controlled love. The third myth is that love makes us weak. Maybe weak at the knees. But unconditional love doesn't mean being a doormat or a pushover or allowing people to mistreat us. It does mean we're anchored to a state of love while we take appropriate action, which could be standing up for ourselves, holding our boundaries, righting wrongs, ending a relationship, or saying no. Remember from my program on the gift of fear that the word no is a sentence in itself, and it's a powerful one. So when we're being in true love, we're strong and able to do whatever is right in the moment. Research at the Institute of Heart Math found that the magnetic field generated by our heart can be measured on a magnetometer, and it shows that our heart is 5,000 times stronger than the magnetic field of our brain. That's amazing. The heart is a major player in the process of manufacturing and releasing hormones and neurotransmitters, and some of those affect our brain processes. Scientists now understand that the heart has its own independent nervous system, a complex system of neural cells called brain in the heart. This is why the heart is so crucial to our well-being. In his book, The Language of the Heart, physiologist James Lynch points out that when we're speaking, like I am now, it has a dramatic effect on our cardiovascular system. His pioneering research shows that our speaking has a direct impact on our blood pressure and that people who consistently speak negatively have a higher incidence of heart disease. That's why it's important to become aware of the way we speak, whether it's positive or negative. The wisdom traditions say that the two most powerful words in the English language are I am. Anything that comes after those words is magnified many times. So it's important to use words of love and peace, such as I am radiant, I am abundant, I am loving. It's important because whatever we say, our subconscious mind believes. When we say I am love, we summon tremendous creative power and the universe responds with a yes. To get started on the path of love for no reason, Marcy asks us to take a few minutes to visualize our life as if we're living in that state of love. What would it be like? If you're listening to this program on a day other than the initial play date, perhaps you can pause the program and visualize the following. How would it feel to be in a state of love for no reason? What would your relationships be like? How would you interact with your children? How would you feel at work? How would your daily commute be different? How would you be treating yourself? You know, I don't know about you, but just hearing these questions makes me smile because regardless of my answer, my life would definitely be better through this visualization process. You know, visualizing our desired life is powerful and it evolves into specific intentions that we want to experience. And then we pile on the energy of love and then just look out. We're embarking on an incredible adventure that will lead us into a new and wondrous state inside as we become more loving than we ever imagined. As Rumi suggested, open the window in the center of your chest and let spirit fly in and fly out. The Heart Math Institute has an exercise that keeps our heart in shape for health, and it's called the Inner Ease Technique to prime the pump of love for no reason. So, number one, when you're stressed or your heart feels shut down, acknowledge your feelings as soon as you feel a sense that you're out of sync. Number two, take a moment and do heart-focused breathing. Put your hand on your heart area and pretend you're breathing in and out through your heart. Breathe slowly and gently until your breathing feels smooth and balanced and not forced. This is proven to help create coherent wave patterns in your heart rhythm. Number three, during the heart-focused breathing, imagine with each breath that you're drawing in a feeling of inner ease and infusing your mind and emotions with balance and self-love from your heart, radiating love and self-care through our system, which activates beneficial hormones and boosts our immunity. Oh, some words to you. Okay. Number four, when the stressful feelings have calmed, affirm with a heartfelt commitment that you want to anchor and maintain the state of ease as you re-engage in your daily interactions. You know, there's so much more in this book that I'd love to share, such as the many exercises you can do to increase in your love in your life for no reason. If that's what you'd like to do, I highly recommend both of these books. But if you're not comfortable shifting your emotions or getting them exposed in your heart, take to heart the words of Rumi. Rumi was a 13th century poet. He talked about feelings, and this one is called the guest house. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, there's a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Treat each guest honorably. He may be the cleaning out that you need for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door, laughing. Invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. I hope you've enjoyed hearing about the power of love and how we consciously or unconsciously control it and sometimes limit it. Begin today to use it for good in your life and the lives of everyone you love. And for those you don't love, use it for their good anyway. It's another small step in bringing peace to the world.